The reading this morning is from Acts chapter 10, verses 30 to 48. Cornelius answered, 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened through the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
Well, morning again. Say to the people next to you, morning. It's good, isn't it? So often we come and sit down and we're in our own little chair. It's, oh, thank you very much. But it's nice just to say hello to the people next to you, because some people may not get a lot of conversation in the week. So I think it's a blessing when we come together as a fellowship, as a family, to greet one another, to speak to people. So please, another plug, if you're able to, speak to people. For some of us, that's going to be harder. I'm like an extrovert, so I'll speak to anybody. If you stand still long enough, that's it. So, but yeah, just try to speak to people if you're able, even if it's just a morning. Hello. This morning, we're ending our series looking at faith foundations. A series which have covered, though you can see on the slide there, all the things that we've talked about. What is the gospel? What is the Trinity? Who is Jesus? Why do we read the Bible? What is prayer? God's government was David last week. And this morning I'm picking up on baptism and the Holy Spirit. Baptism and the Holy Spirit. Two things that really you could spend a long time on. And I've got 20 minutes or so. So foundations are important. Foundations are important. hopefully, and I'm going to ask you, it's not moving. Could you move it along one for me? House foundations. Any idea how deep a house foundation should be? If you've got a normal two-story house, what's the sort of depth you have to go down to? Let's have a see. Any ideas? Nice and loudly, because I can't hear. 1 meter? 2 meters? Yeah, it says 0.6 to 2.5 meters deep, with widths from at least 0.6 of a meter. So your trench needs to be at least 0.6, and it's as deep as 2.5. So, anybody been to the Shard? Some of us, you've probably been, yes, I've been to the bit where you go and have a cocktail or whatever and you look out. I haven't, because it's too high for me. I know, but my wife, that's 310 metres high. 310 metres high. That's the tallest building in Western Europe. It has a range of firm structural piles. So it's not like a house where you get the thing. It's got structural piles of up to 1.8 metre in diameter installed at depths of between 25 and 50 metres. So somewhere between 25 and 50 metres deep. And you think, well, that's not a lot, is it? When you think, well, it's 310 metres high. In preparing today, I was going to suggest that the Burj Khalifa, you can see the middle building, that is the tallest building currently in the world. And I was thinking, oh, that's going to have the deepest foundations. That's going to have the deepest, surely. Yet, despite being 828 metres high, it doesn't have the deepest foundations. That honour goes to the Petronas Towers in Malaysia. Any idea how, well, I'll tell you how tall it is, and you see if you can tell me how deep the foundations are. Its two towers are 451.9, crucial, 0.9, metres tall, and it was officially the tallest building between 1998 and 2004. And this has got the world's deepest foundations so far. So, any idea how deep do you think the foundations would be on this 451.9 metre building? Nice and loudly. Go on then. No, well, the young man got it spack. You could have waited a bit. Could have had some other answers come in. 120 metres is correct. It's about 400 feet deep. There's 104 concrete piles make up the foundations. And it's that deep because of the land where it's built. As we consider foundations, I want to offer something from the natural world. Let's consider the roots of a tree. For the roots of a tree enable it to remain upright, give it strength, and help it grow, don't they? I don't know if you've spent time studying trees. I've not spent a lot of time. But my answer, it's sort of, they say, the spread of the branches, how far they out, is usually how far the roots go out. And it's just, I just find that really, really amazing. But there's some passages in Scripture. Colossians 2, 6 to 7 says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Ephesians 3, 17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. John 15, 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So even in the natural world and in Scripture, they're encouraging us to be rooted. How rooted are you in these foundations? How rooted are you with Jesus? Or is your roots go out very shallow? by going down deep. So as we reflect on our faith foundations within this area of back to basics, I pray that we will be encouraged to see them as areas that will help us develop deep roots, strengthening our understanding and our relationship with God. We now are picking up on these final two faith foundations that we've identified as the Holy Spirit and baptism. If we think about the reading we've heard, I love that reading. It's like, well, I had a dream and I said, sent two people to you, and he was having a dream and they came together. God does marvelous things, doesn't he? Jackie said, oh, I think it was from God, but then I had Paul comment and say, and there was, oh, maybe together. Yes, there is a discerning. Because it talks about the mind of Christ. We as the people of God discern the mind of Christ. It doesn't say in the Bible, Nick Humphreys discerns the mind of Christ and all of Bourne Baptist Church agree. It doesn't say that. I wouldn't want it to say that. What it says is that we, the people of God, we discern the mind of Christ together. So Peter, he's talking, sharing, and they come together and says that Jesus met with John, was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, went off. And then it talks about he was died on the cross. They shared the gospel, and Cornelius said, we need that. And amazingly, before he'd even finished preaching, which is a bit inconsiderate of them, they were speaking in tongues. They were talking. The Holy Spirit had come on them. Isn't that amazing? Yes, it is. That's a blessing. Oh, so I would receive that this morning. So as I'm speaking, you guys are off. And he says, surely, if they're doing this, surely they should be baptized. And I think sometimes, you know, we have our own ways of doing things. But God there was saying, actually, I'm bypassing you. They're open to me. They're living for me. Receive. Receive. Wow. I pray that we would receive this morning. We're not here just to be entertained. We would receive. I've got to be mindful of the time. It is impossible to understand the Bible, Christian living, the structure of the church or our own relationship with God without understanding the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person of the Trinity. The Bible says that he is not something. He is someone. He is God as revealed. Paul, back in the series, picked up on the Trinity back on the 4th of May. And I want to say, if this is the second one you've heard in the series, they're all online. And if you've heard them all already, go back and hear them again. Please, because we put them online so people can listen to them again and again. And I want to encourage you to do it. What you do is you go on our website, click on the Sunday, on the videos link, and you can then find the videos for the Sundays. Do it. Don't just turn up on a Sunday and go, lovely, I've received that, and off I go. That is amazing, but learn more. Take more. The Holy Spirit lives inside us when we accept Christ, and he helps us grow closer to God. The moment we receive Christ, the Saviour, the Holy Spirit comes to live in our hearts. Do you know that? Do you testify to that? Amen. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is all powerful and present everywhere. The Holy Spirit teaches us. I'm pleased the Holy Spirit teaches us. Takes us deeper into God's truth, and we go along as we go along in the Christian life. We sometimes sing, the same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives in us. Joseph. Joseph this morning came in, hurt his neck. He's got a slight neck. And I said, let's pray for you. We did. And he says, oh, it feels a little bit better. And I'm praying that he'll come and tell me it's all better. Because I want our children to know that the Holy Spirit isn't just for adults. God's move on people isn't just for those over the age of 18. Lucy, you're so lucky now. God moves. God's blessing is for all ages. Let the little ones come to me so I can bless them. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. You have to be open. We have to be open. Let's not close up. We need to be open. So how does the Holy Spirit work? I've got four things here, I think. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John 16, 18. He will use a mother's prayers. He will use tragic experiences. Those experiences that we just don't, we cannot fathom, we cannot understand. Why, God? Or a pastor's sermon. Or some other experience to convict us of sin and of our need to give Jesus a go. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to give him a go, because he will not let you down. Everybody declare that. He will not let you down. And again, he won't. He points to us and says, you are a sinner, you need to repent. Why don't we do that? Why don't we do that more? Why don't we encourage God to move in people's lives? Because actually, I'm not the Redeemer. Did you know that? Nick Humphries isn't the Redeemer. Jesus is. And he redeems you through the Holy Spirit, touching you, guiding you. There's that many famous words of older people back in history. A sense of my heart was strangely warmed. Have you ever had that experience? Do you know, I've had one time. I'm going off piste a bit. When I was a youth worker, I was praying in someone's house, and we were sitting down, and all of a sudden, I had a real sense of weightiness on my shoulders, as if a burden for young people of the town that I was in. And it was like this real heaviness, and I just physically couldn't get up. The Holy Spirit moves in us in many ways, but he convicts us. Yes, of sin, but he convicts us into action as well. We are not just consumers, we are participators. We get involved. Secondly, the Holy Spirit gives new life. The Bible says that we are dead in our sins. Ephesians 2:1. Our spirit within us, made in the image of God, is dead toward God if we're not walking with him. Mankind, we, that's all of us, needs life. Yet, we have all sinned and therefore are dead toward God. The Holy Spirit, however, gives us new life in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How is someone born again? That was a question in the Bible. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit is the one who makes you born again. It is a supernatural act. It isn't the good things we've done. It's not the old people we've helped across the road, the cups of tea you've made for your wife, the flowers you've bought for people. But God's mercy through the Holy Spirit that saves us. And that's in Titus 3:5. All we have to do is accept the free gift of salvation. It's a free gift by accepting Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in us. As you hear this, you may realize that you are spiritually dead. The God says, I will put my spirit in you. I will come to live in you. What a privilege. I want that. I want God living in me. And it's amazing to think that actually he lives in me, even though I am ugly. I haven't got to sort myself out first. Because so often we think I need to get A, B, C, D, E, F, G for some of us, and all the way out to Z for others of us before God's going to live in us. No! He comes and lives within the mess. Do you know that? He lives within the mess. Thank God for that. That I don't have to get myself sorted before he says, I'm going to come and dwell. We have to seek to then try and live better. Yeah. He doesn't want us to be polluted by fleshy, lustful thoughts, harmful substances. And then fourthly, the Holy Spirit gives you power to serve Christ. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, Acts 1:8. Christ is coming back again. Did you know that? And we're sharing communion a bit later. And in that meal, we celebrate the fact that he's coming again. He is ready to come into your heart by the Holy Spirit now, to make you a new person. Will you accept Christ as your Savior? We've got a lot to go through, so I'm going to move on. We're picking up on baptism, because that followed, wasn't it? The Holy Spirit came, baptism. Let's get them baptized. As life groups pick up the notes this week, one of the verses cited is from Romans 6, and it's verses 3 to 5. And in this case, it says, being baptized into Christ is a public identification with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, which is said to be the gospel that saves. And that's in 1 Corinthians 15. Baptism, as I'm sure some of us, well, we all know, is a public statement proclaiming that the person is trusting in the sacrifice of Christ. We had four young people, Lucy, Kerry. Oh. Catalina and Tim, didn't we? They publicly stood up and said, I love Jesus. He's my number one. Baptism by immersion is a perfect symbol for this work of Christ. As Christ died and was raised to new life, so too the Christian in Christ is said to have died and has new life. The new life of regeneration is by faith and internal work. Baptism is the external work of identification with Christ. Being baptized doesn't mean you're saved. It's a public declaration that you have been saved. Baptism is being identified as a disciple. Matthew 28:18-19. Baptism may be compared to a new birth. And you can look at that in John 3:5. Baptism is compared to Jesus' death and resurrection. Romans 6. In each reference above, baptism is an identification with something. When people were baptized into John the Baptist's baptism, it was a baptism of repentance. It wasn't the baptism that granted them repentance or made repentance real. Repentance is something that happens internally and is the work of God. To participate in John's baptism was to publicly proclaim that the person being baptized was accepting John's message of repentance. Yet, what we see in this passage, they were being baptized in Jesus. Not just repentance, but they were proclamation as well. As we are baptized, it is identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's what baptism represents. Jesus' shed blood is what cleanses us from sins. Not being washed with water. It is Christ's death that is the payment for sin. Jesus' resurrection is the proof of God the Father's acceptance of his sacrifice. And that his death has conquered. His death and resurrection has conquered death. For Christians to be baptized is to make a public proclamation that he is trusting and all worthy. I don't know if you saw on the news this week down in Bournemouth, five churches came together and performed and had baptisms on the coast, in the sea. It was, I think it was on the BBC news, local news, I think. I don't know if it actually made the national, but it was on the local. There were five churches, about 90 people baptized in the sea. And hundreds of people from the churches went onto the beach and worshipped. And wow. Because that's what baptism is. You know, in some countries, they don't have churches with pools like this. They've only got, right, we've got to find a river. There's a river, we'll do it there. So we could say, right, whoever's next, we're not using here, we're going to use the pool in the middle. People are going, And actually, the planned date is November. That's when we're next looking at baptism. So, No. But baptism... Baptism doesn't make you a Christian. Okay? What makes you a Christian is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior and then receiving the Holy Spirit. The mark of the God on you in your life. He is the seal. I'm ending because we've got to do communion. But I wanted, and I was going to do in my sermon, I wanted us to have a moment. And we're going to do it. We're going to extend a bit. I'm really sorry with the community. Let's just take a moment to be quiet. Because I want God to move. I want the Holy Spirit to come and meet with you. So we are going to pray. And then following this, then David will lead us in communion. So let's just take a moment. Father God, you are God. And you bestow good gifts on us, and you have given us the Holy Spirit. And yes, we receive it when we become Christian, but you also desire us to come to you to be continually filled. It's not a one-time only filling, it's a continually filled. So Lord, please come and fill us now. Fill us with your Spirit. I pray for people in this room that whether they've never had a sense of you coming and visiting as the Holy Spirit. If that is the first time, Lord, I pray you would do what they need. Because I know, goodness, you are not a gate-crashing God. You are a respectful, loving God. And Lord, I pray for those that just need that encouragement you give them, for those that need to have something answered. But Lord, come, anoint us now. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. So let's just now perhaps have you sit with your arms open and face palms faced upwards and allow, say, in an open posture, receiving posture. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. And we ask as a church, we invite you here. We pray for a refreshment, a re-anointing of your Spirit. Lord, for those of us that are dry and weary, fill us afresh. For those that are struggling, fill us afresh. For those that just need to have that affirmation to know that you are there, fill us, Lord. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you're not limited by this space or this time, that you meet us wherever, whenever. So, Lord, I pray now as we continue with this service that you come. Lord, if it's at home, you come. Touch your people, I pray.